Should we be getting excited for the offseason that is in store for the Atlanta Falcons? Well, my guest, Alan Sterk, shares his excitement over the Falcons' ongoing defensive coordinator search, potential big acquisitions this offseason in free agency, including a blockbuster trade for quarterback Lamar Jackson on today's Locked On Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and a.k.a. the most humble host here of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day, Monday through Friday, on a variety of podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, and of course, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube and you get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And make sure you check out Locked On Falcons on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Just download the Locked On Sports Atlanta app and you'll get Locked On Falcons, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On Braves, and ATL Day Ones on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So guys, without further ado, I have joined by a guest, none other than Alan Sterk of the Falcoholic, and we're going to talk about, you know, the Falcons quarterback situation, including if making the play for Lamar Jackson is the right move, is exciting, and is it justifiable. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the defensive coordinator search as well, and Alan's thoughts on what he would like to see from the new defensive coordinator, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the free agents that the Falcons could be looking to retain this offseason, and maybe some of the key guys that he thinks has earned new deals here in Atlanta. So we'll get into that without much further ado right now here on Locked On Falcons. All right, guys, we are back with another illustrious guest, none other than Alan Sterk, former co-host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, contributor for the Falcoholic. And of course, he is the guy that is putting it all together for Odyssey. Without him, there would be no Odyssey. That's what he told me off the air. And today we are going to be talking about the Falcons offseason with a lot of stuff that's happening, a lot more busy offseason than since the end of the regular season. And obviously the big question that we got to talk about is sort of what do the Falcons do at the quarterback position? And so Alan, I guess I'll just put it to you. What do you think the Falcons will do at the quarterback position? And what do you think they should do at the quarterback position this offseason?
So I wrote a piece last week about pretty much being all, not all in on Desmond Ridder, but absolutely giving him every opportunity to start in 2023. But having a strong alternative, i.e. Ryan Tannehill, because I do think Ryan Tannehill is more than serviceable and someone that you could be competitive with in this league. And I do think, obviously, the familiarity with Arthur Smith would be hugely beneficial if Ridder does not pan out. But the Lamar Jackson situation has made my head swirl. And now I'm pondering a lot of different possibilities because there's no denying the Falcons have cap space. And there's no denying Lamar Jackson would be a perfect fit with Arthur Smith's scheme, and he's someone that could transform the organization. And there's no denying this organization desperately needs an injection of star power. They tried it last year, albeit under very problematic circumstances. We don't need to dive into that because it's a new year. So I think the new regime, or not the new regime anymore, I really have to stop saying that. It's 2023. It's their third offseason, damn it. But nevertheless, I think Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have proven they're willing to put all the chips into a player that they fully believe in. And what other player that's available, or albeit a quarterback that can play at a top five level and MVP level, than someone like Lamar Jackson.
Okay. So it sounds like you feel like this Lamar Jackson stuff is real, right?
Yeah. Is that fair? Certainly. I think, and I don't think it's because he didn't go to the playoff game Sunday night. I think that was totally overblown. He didn't try out to any of the away games. And according to someone like, verifiable source, Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson has been like limping in the locker room. So asking him to get on a flight, given the swelling in his left knee, I think that's a total non-story of him not being in the playoff game. I think the story is not just the fact that he hasn't signed, but John Harbaugh, like in press conferences, have you noticed like he hasn't really fully backed him? He's been kind of just saying, oh, we thought he'd be healthy right now. Like just the total lack of support, I think, is alarming, especially someone like a John Harbaugh, who is known for being this commanding figure, albeit Harbaugh has had his falling outs with star players in the past, Ed Reed, Earl Thomas, et cetera. But I just think the Ravens and you know not having full support of Lamar Jackson, someone that's literally, I think, has a 75% win percentage. I think he's 45-16 as a starter, is a bit baffling. So that's why I think there are real rumblings, and I do think there is serious buzz about him being traded, and I think we should have hope for it.
Okay. So if the Falcons were to, you know, you're basically saying you would approve of that move, right?
Yeah. How about you?
I did a whole podcast saying no yesterday. So, but like, look, I think you can make a case for it. You know, for me, I'll bounce this idea off of you, and I might do a deeper dive on this maybe on tomorrow's episode. But I'll bounce this idea off of you, and you tell me if it's worth 10 minutes of a podcast. Okay. I think the case for it is that, like, you look at the landscape of the NFC. And you see teams like the Green Bay and Tampa Bay and New Orleans that have been very good the last couple of years seem to be on a downward trend. And it kind of leaves teams like Philly and San Francisco and maybe Dallas as kind of the top teams. And you could make a case that with Lamar Jackson, with some of the young core that the Falcons have on their offense with Algier and London and Pitts, all on rookie contracts, and with the cap space that they're going to get this offseason and basically going out and buying a defense, you can make a case that that team could jump into that top three or four teams in the NFC and make a serious run over the next couple of years, given that the NFC is kind of down and Lamar Jackson would be a big part of making that leap. You know, for me, I guess the pro of that is like you could do some damage in the NFC over the next couple of years. I think the con of that is it's probably not set up for long-term success, because you'll probably, if you don't win in the next 2 or 3 years, then you're probably going to be in a similar situation as like Dan Quinn taking over for Mike Smith and having to just basically, you know, rebuild it with, you know, brand new pieces or whatnot. But do you feel like that is kind of the case? Like the case for it is, the NFL stands for not for long. And if you're Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, you don't care about, you know, where this team is at necessarily 5+ years from now. It's about like, what can we do over the next 2 or 3 years? Is that a fair way of looking at the case for Lamar Jackson?
Man, you definitely have a podcast coming up. You put together something. You bring the content strategist on to think of podcast ideas, and now you just come up with something. But, and you broke it down very nicely, and you definitely gave me a lot to consider. I just think you have to capitalize on a window, because another thing is the longest drought. Our buddy Matt Chambers wrote about this. It's been 30 years since a drought's been like this. Like the fact that they haven't been in the playoffs in this long is I think it's starting to wear on people. And I know you want to operate on hope. You want to operate on desperation, because organizations do not succeed like that. And you want to act practical, but it's just, when do you ever see a talent like this become available?
Yeah, I mean, that is the argument. You know, we won't go into it, but like, you know, I think Lamar Jackson is good, but I don't think he's as good as some people say he is.
Do you think Greg Roman, who I know is extremely frustrating and very predictable at times, but do you think Greg Roman elevates him?
No, I don't. Oh, okay. But I also don't really think Arthur Smith's offense is going to get significantly more out of Lamar than what Greg Roman, because I feel like there's a lot of overlap with how Arthur Smith's offense was under Mariota versus what Lamar is under Greg Roman.
I do think this does play a factor, is that Lamar likes big catch radius guys. I think he best aligns with them. Like you look at guys like Andrews and, you know, he's healthy, Bateman. Like I think having guys like London and Pitts would greatly benefit him, because, you know, Lamar isn't the most accurate passer, but at the same time, he knows how to give his playmakers opportunities on the ball. And, you know, I do think the timing of it. Like, you know, it seems like, all right, the Ravens, they're very just, I don't know, they operate so bizarrely with their, you know, formations, and they do like to run a lot of mesh and a lot of stick. Like, it's just kind of formulaic. But at the same time, I think given that Arthur Smith, you see those like quick slants, those digs, like I think hitting London and Pitts and stride, I think he's someone that could do that consistently. So that's where I'm thinking maybe like this Lamar Jackson, even though he's not the most accurate thrower, I think he could really benefit running, you know, those read options and, you know, utilizing play action, just hitting London, Pitts and middle field. Because ultimately, you know, the Arthur Smith offense, it's kind of in between the numbers. Like, I don't know if Lamar's ever been that great outside the numbers, but I think he's been very good inside the numbers. So I think that's where kind of the fit aligns, at least for me.
Yeah, no, I think he fits in this offense. I just, you know, I don't expect, I don't know. Like, to me, like, Lamar has been a much maligned quarterback over the course of his career, right? There have been some people that are basically like, he's terrible, he's a running back, he's this, you know, all that stuff. Bill Polian, of course, comes to mind. And I think that, as is often the case when it comes to these quarterbacks, I think that has caused some people to kind of have a backlash to the backlash and kind of overrate him as a passer. Like, you know, I think he's a good passer, but like, I kind of see him as like the 13th best passing quarterback in the NFL, you know, something like that.
Which is fine when you're the most electrifying playmaker at the position.
Yeah. But again, for me, the long-term issue with Lamar is like, I don't know if having the 13th best passer in the league is really going to do anything for you in January.
Okay, yeah, all right. Let's get, and we also have to take into account, how's he going to deal with a defense that is not top 10? Like, he's been playing with top 10 defenses over the majority of his career.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is going to sound like an insult, and it is at face value. I think he is definitely much better, but he's kind of a lot like Mariota, like the best version of Mariota in this offense. And, like, that's probably a guy that – this year probably leads his team to 12 wins and the fourth seed. But like, I don't know if I would look at them as a team that can, you know, consistently beat teams like San Francisco and Philadelphia in January.
I agree with the latter point, but please don't put Mariota in the scene. Like, Lamar can throw deep. Like, I think Lamar is a
he can throw deep. Deep.
Yeah. Like, come on, when Mariota throws deep, you don't know what area code's gonna end it. Like,
that's true.
Let's be
like,
let's
I just I, like what I mean is, like, you know, the best version of Mariota,
I get it, I get it,
making the plays that the Mariota stands insist that he's capable of making, and the rest of us realize that he's not, you know, and a little bit better than that, right? Yeah. Like, so, I think Lamar's that guy.
Okay, I also want to clarify, I'm putting this on the should category, but ultimately, I do think the Ravens will come to senses and they're going to come to an agreement. You know, barring something astronomical, but I think the Falcons aren't going to give him the, you know, this crazy offer of, what, 3 first round picks. Like, I don't know. I just maybe don't see them going the route that, say, Denver did or Russell Wilson. Like, I don't think they're going to totally break the bank. It's like, cause I don't know. I wonder if San Francisco is now giving teams a template. Like, if you have this extraordinary supporting cast, you could have a decent quarterback. And now, granted, you need a great defense as well. But I just wonder, seeing the blueprint San Fran's setting out right now is going to influence organizations where it's like, we get like this supporting cast that's just breaking tackles every time they catch the ball. We could utilize them in so many schematic ways. You know, maybe we could just have a functional quarterback and, you know, scheme plays up for him. You know, I do wonder if San Fran's setting the blueprint for that. And maybe Arthur Smith will see that with Desmond Ridder. Although, you know, the hope is Desmond Ridder will be more than just a functional quarterback.
We'll see. Obviously, you know, that will be probably played out over the next, what, week or two to see sort of if the San Francisco blueprint is the way to go. But obviously they thought they needed to make a big improvement at the quarterback by trading up for Trey Lance. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Gus Heston, do you think Tannehill would be a sensible sign? Would you be for that?
I mean, I would get it. Like, he's basically like, where his floor is probably where you're hoping Desmond Ridder's ceiling is next year, right?
We don't have higher expectations or hopes.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be putting up numbers like he did in 2019 and 2020 anymore.
Oh, wait, I think I misread you. I misheard you, excuse me. No, I get what you mean now. So you're saying Tannehill's floor is Ridder's ceiling, correct?
this year, not necessarily long term.
Okay. I'm saying, okay. Like, all right.
Where Tannehill's going to come in 2023, like, you know, he's going to be here, and you're right. Hoping Ridder gets there. Like, okay. Ridder's down here somewhere. Like, all you're right. Hoping he gets there.
I'm 100% agreement. Okay, no, I think I flipped the opinion around. I'm just like, wait a minute. You think Ritter's ceiling is Tannehill's floor? Give every first round pick for more. But no, that's a good point. Yeah, at this point, with Tannehill, it's like you want him to manage the offense. You want him to get those 3 or 5 times a game. Try to run those option plays with them, and just don't turn the ball over, and make the throws you expect them to make. Utilize and play action. So yeah, that's a fair assessment. I just think either him or Jacoby Brissett would be the best alternatives if you need a real credible backup. I don't even want to say serviceable backup. I want a real credible backup.
Okay, but I think that's fair. I think it's fair. There's a lot of Jacoby Brissett support within the fan base. I've noticed that recently.
He's played well.
Yeah, I think he has. We're not going to get into it, but I just remember back in 2019 where people were like, oh, Jacoby Brissett sucks. And I'm like, he's better than people think he is. But
I always liked him. I always thought him and Teddy Bridgewater are the best backups in the league, but Teddy Bridgewater can't stay healthy anymore. So he's out of the conversation.
I mean, I remember, we'll move on in a second. But like, I just remember in that 2019 season when we were about to play the Colts, and everybody's like, yeah, we'll beat the Colts. And I'm like, no, Jacoby Brissett's actually kind of good. And then like, everybody's like, oh, Mariota's going to be, and I'm like, Mariota's trash. Right? So like, when we lost to the Colts, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. While everybody else was like, I can't believe we lost Jacoby Brissett and the Colts. And then when we lost to the Titans, I was like, how did we lose to the Titans? Because Mariota's garbage.
Didn't Matt Ryan throw like 4 incompletions in that Colts game? Didn't he have like, wasn't like 35 or 39 or something? I remember
Ryan, I know Jacoby Brissett had like a ridiculous.
He did too, but I remember because Eberflus's defense, you get chunk gains every 4 plays. Like Eberflus's defense, they just give out gifts. So I feel like that was a game like Austin Hooper had like 12 catches. Like I just remember that game, it was a mess, but I just remember Matt Ryan being very productive.
I remember Matt Ryan missing.
Oh, there goes that theory.
I can't remember, but anyway, we'll move on. We'll move on from.
It was one of Muhammad Sanu's last games. Very sad.
We'll move on from this 2019. Who was that tight end? I'm gonna be thinking about that throughout the rest of the show. But we'll move on. We'll talk a little bit about the defensive coordinator search now that we've done a deep dive on the quarterback situation. As we continue today's Locked On Falcons here with Alan Stark. Guys, I want to tell you about today's sponsor, the mobile game Ultimate Football GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise, controlling every strategic aspect of your team, now your dreams have come true, and this is the game definitely for you. And the great thing about Ultimate Football GM is you're hiring, you're firing the coaches, the coordinators, you're trading, drafting, and signing players. There are real challenges. It's very realistic. We've been talking with some of the listeners on the Discord about some of the challenges, their successes, their failures on the show. So definitely highly recommend it for you guys that want to prove that you're the knowledgeable person that can turn around your favorite sports team. And the great thing is that you can get a 100% free boost to your franchise with the promo code Locked On, all caps, in the game shop. That's promo code Locked On. And if you want to download the game, just head to ultimate-gm.com or look it up in your preferred app store. That's ultimate-gm.com, Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. So, guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen, and always for your second listen, check out Locked On NFL. Get the daily conversations on the biggest stories in the NFL. And Monday, you're getting the local insiders covering the game in the week-to-week, in the weekends, game-to-game episodes. And, of course, Friday, you'll get those NFL key predictions. So subscribe to Locked On NFL on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. So, Alan, let's talk a little bit about the defensive coordinator search, right? Dean Pease retiring. I'm just curious, like, do you have any preferences? Do you have any thoughts on the ongoing search for the defensive coordinator?
What's the word I'm looking for here? Like, I don't want to be too generic here. I just want someone with new ideas and will, like, actually give coverage to guys. I just think one thing we've seen over the past decade with Falcons defense coordinators, it just seems like they're just too bland. Like, I just want some more exoticness, which I kind of thought we were going to get with Dean Pease, but clearly that was not the case. too much cover two for my liking, too many delayed blitzes. Like, I appreciate what Raheem Morris did during his time as defense coordinator and as an interim coach. I think he was like the only defense coordinator I remember being genuinely ecstatic about. But besides that, I just feel like the last decade has been very underwhelming when it comes to D corners. All right, the 1 year of Mike Nolan, very memorable year. Absolutely. 2012 Mike Nolan, Corey Bierman dropping 20 yards into coverage. You got to love it. Willie Moe with the blitzes. But I just think, and look, I know this is probably a general viewpoint for most fans, but I just think someone that, you know, could actually put together some good coverage disguises, maybe be a little bit more at the forefront of the blitzes. Like, look, you know you're going to get twists. You know you're going to get your fair share of different, you know, quarters, coverages, and, you know, cover three, et cetera. But I just want to see more disguises. I want to see quarterbacks actually get flustered, because I just think over the past 10 years, we've seen too many quarterbacks be comfortable playing this defense.
Okay. I was going to ask you, how much do you think of that is on the or at least basically, I know I've said it many times on this podcast that, like, I think that's more of a, they don't have the players to fluster quarterbacks more so than the scheme to fluster quarterbacks. But I'm just curious where you sort of land on that.
I mean, you're right. I can't say you're wrong about that. I just want to see more experiment. Even, like, I don't know, because it seemed like, I don't know, it kind of went on a blur. Like, Marquand Manuel, he had the personnel, and I don't remember him necessarily doing that. So, look, I know it's a work in progress. You know, you need the personnel to be able to maximize your playbook. Like, even Dean Pease said that he can only utilize, what, 60% of his playbook in 2021. So I do get it. You got to have the personnel to, you know, provide that versatility and flexibility, and, you know, trust players to do things that are rather out of the ordinary. So, you know, I do get that. But I don't know, just with the defensive coordinator searches, obviously you want someone with a good track record. You know, there's definitely some guys out there. But it's hard to pinpoint what you want unless you have a real specific cover alignment. Like, I know for me, like, I'm kind of over cover two. Like, I just think playing cover two is just too much of a dangerous game in today's NFL. But besides that, I don't have any real preferences, except I just would like to see some more coverage disguises, you know, pre-snap wise.
Okay. I'm curious, did some of this weekend's matchups affect your opinion on cover two? Because that seems to be the direction that the league is going to, more of those split safety looks and whatnot. But we kind of saw Minnesota get kind of carved up a little bit by the Giants, specifically playing some of that cover two stuff.
Yeah, I know Dallas had success last night, but, like, that Tampa Bay offense, they have no speed. You know, we love you, Julio, but, like, besides that, they just have no vertical threats. So I don't know how much I want to use Dallas as an example. But, yeah, I don't know, maybe – I think you're right. Just, I think it really ultimately depends on personnel. But I don't know, Sam, but cover two always just concerns me, just leaving that much space. And given that the Falcons kind of lacked athleticism at the back end, maybe it's why I don't think it's an ideal fit. But then again, you know, they got $70 million in cap space. So, you know, things could change rather quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Any particular free agents that you would like to see them use that money on?
Oh, defensively?
Sure.
Let's go. I don't think the safety market's that good. Do you think it's good?
I think it's pretty good.
Really?
There's Jesse Bates.
I mean, that's the hope, but I don't think
since there's some other guys out there that aren't like superstars or anything, but they're solid.
Okay, I was looking more on the D-line. That's where I think they should really invest their money. Like there's a, I don't know what's going to happen, because San Fran, look, I think San Fran is going to go very far in the playoffs, even potentially in the Super Bowl, but, you know, guys like Epugam and Charles Semenu, like, they're going to be free agents. And, like, you get one of them, man, I think they can make a difference. Or even someone like a Zach Allen, like, good complementary pieces. I know De'Ron Payne's the crown jewel, but, you know, I think there's a lot of good complementary pieces you could add to this D-line, you know, make potentially two signings that I think can make a world of difference.
I agree. Speaking of signings, we'll talk a little bit about you know, some of the Falcons' impending free agents that Allen thinks should be priorities to keep this offseason.
Can I make one prediction? I got a feeling about this. Look back this in March. I think Allen Lazard will be a Falcon.
Okay.
Because I think just as a big body and as a really good blocker, I think Allen Lazard is one of the best blocking receivers in the league. I think Arthur Smith will value that. It's either going to be a Lazard or your pick of Corey Davis will come to fruition, just because you know, Corey Davis, Titans, it makes all sense in the world. But sign tells me Atlanta, they're going to overspend for Alan Lazard. And I'm not going to totally hate it because I think Alan Lazard's a decent playmaker. And look, he's a big body and he could block. So I think that just fills Arthur Smith's quota. You do not look amused one bit.
Okay. All right. I mean, I've been hearing Falcon fans talking about Alan Lazard for like, feels like 3 years. So, all right. Maybe they'll finally get their wish on that front. But
speaking for the people.
We'll talk about some of the players that Alan wants to see this team bring back this offseason to wrap up today's Locked On Falcons. And guys, I want to tell you about the number one source for your sports betting needs, your info, your stats, your news, your analysis. Of course, I'm talking about betonline.net. And since I also know that you love sports podcasts, BetOnline has those as well. Guys, get the latest odds and trends for every professional or amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. Find it all at betonline.net. And of course, you can find this weekend's action for the divisional round playoffs, where we're going to get a lot more intense. Is Daniel Jones going to screw me over this weekend? We'll see, right? So go on, head over to the website at betonline.net. Use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. So wrapping up today's Locked On Falcons here with Alan Sterk of the Falcoholic. Alan and I, back in the day when we were co-hosting this podcast and its previous incarnation of Falc Fans Podcast, would love around this time of year to sort of do like, will they stay, will they go, and go through like all the free agents. And I remember shocking Alan when, after a year of complaining, or 2 years of complaining about Paul Warlow, he asked me about, should they keep Paul Warlow? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, huh? How is that possible? You've been hating on this man for years. And I'm like, yeah, as a backup, not as a starter. Like, I hate him as a starter. He's fine as a backup. But we'll do sort of a condensed version of that. And rather than just going through the literally half the roster that is free agents this offseason, just ask Alan, are there certain guys that you sort of would put at the top of the list as guys that you would like to see back in Atlanta in 2023?
You're gonna love this. My first pick, easy, Keith Smith. You got to keep Keith Smith. He's such an asset.
Uh-huh. People are surprised when I'm like, you know, I'm over Keith Smith at this point in time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm over it. He did a nice job stabilizing that fullback position in a post Patrick DeMarco world, but like, I feel like it's time to move on. That's my
I think more times than not he makes the necessary lead blocks this spring.
He's fine. He was better, I think, in like 19 and 20 than he was this past year. I feel like this year there was some drop off.
All right. Well, you're the fullback expert, so we take it for. Definitely Isaiah Oliver. I know early on he looked a bit sluggish, but I think that's just coming off the torn Achilles. But I do think Isaiah Oliver had a strong end to the season. I just think he provides solidity as a nickel corner, one of the surest tackles. You utilize him on blitzes. I just think he's versatile enough where, okay, you can't really play him on the outside, but I just think he's so on your defense you could depend on, play a lot of snaps, and just he's pretty much usually disciplined. Like, you really don't see him make mistakes anymore. So I think someone should be valued. And all right, and I guess you convinced me other people, but Caleb McGarry, I guess, let's do it. I think we just have to at this point. I think as frustrating as a pass block he may be, with his short arms and slow feet at times and his sloppy technique, I just think he's so much of an asset as a run blocker. And him and Lindstrom, like, you watch that running game, it's just those two, it's like poetry in motion. Like, they were mauling people. And, like, I just don't think you could break that up if the price is right. You know, I know there's a bit of alarm bells because 1 year out of, what, 4 years as a starter, and I know that gives bad flashbacks to Sam Baker, but I don't think Sam Baker ever stood out the way Caleb McGarry stood out. I think Sam Baker was a decent pass blocker, but, you know, McGarry was borderline, like, an all-pro caliber run blocker. Pass blocking, okay, average maybe, but like, there was times you watch, especially that Ravens game, like, you know, he's moving people, like, and we saw it through the course of the season. I just used the Ravens one as an example because I really rate the Ravens defense highly. So, yeah, I think at this point, I think we got past grudges and, you know, previous blunders and pass protection aside, that Caleb McGarry is someone that's an asset, and I think he just fits Arthur Smith's scheme perfectly. So, let's do it. Hopefully, yeah. I will not have to eat my words come 8 months from now.
Okay, I'm curious watching Oliver get some looks at safety late in the season. What are your thoughts on that?
I think he could do it. Now, will there be a full transition? Who knows? But, like, you know, you do see three safety looks. I know the Packers used it quite a bit. That's how they got Darnell Savage back on the field because they didn't trust him. So maybe whoever comes in as D coordinator will utilize more three safety looks, and that could put Oliver back there. Because I do think D Alford's more than capable of playing slot corner, at least he, as a contributor. I don't know, as a full-time star. But, you know, Alford showed enough where he could play that. So if you want to move guys around, sure, why not? Because, you know, look, I just think Oliver, tackling-wise, you just always depend on, like, there's rarely a time he misses a tackle. So I think that's huge. And I just think with his experience and just his on-field awareness, he just always seems to be around the ball, which is kind of crazy to say now, because in 2019, he was anywhere but near the ball. But he's really made some serious improvements to his game. And, you know, it would be nice to see him get that multi-year contract, because he was on the verge last year before, obviously, tearing his Achilles.
Okay. I got three guys, two of whom are free agents, and one of them is a potential cap cut. You know, where you sort of fall on them returning: Rashawn Evans, Lorenzo Carter, and Casey Hayward.
I'd like to hear your opinion first. Is that possible?
Okay. All right. Good one. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm out on Rashawn Evans. Like, he was fine down the stretch. Like,
no DPs, no Rashawn Evans.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I've been there, done that. You know, he was basically, to me, he's DeMarcus Mariota of the defense. He was a bridge.
Oh, that's harsh. I was going to say Curtis Lofton, but okay.
He's fine, but, like, I'm just, I feel like we could do much better.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Carter, I think he has a role. I think he's a role player, right? That's what he was in New York. He was fine in that role. Obviously, because of the lack of other talent on the Falcons front, like, he kind of had to be the guy, and he's not really that guy. So I would like him back as a role player, but, like, instead of being, like, their top edge for most of the season until Ebiketie, midway through the season, like, he needs to be, like, the third or fourth edge, if you ask me. So, like, if they can get him back for a price that, you know, is fair for that type of role, I would have him back. But if not, then, you know, I feel like we can do better as well.
Yeah, I'm
in full grand. Casey Hayward, I'm kind of 50-50 on Casey Hayward. Like, I feel like I think he got off to a little bit of a slow start the first couple of games, but then kind of figured out, and then he got hurt. And so he's an older guy, and you do worry about, you know, him hitting that wall, especially if we, you know, go and hire someone like a Brian Flores, who's going to play a lot more man coverage rather than zone. So it kind of depends on who the D coordinator is going to be, where I kind of fall on Casey Hayward. But I could take it or leave it. I feel like that's a position that the Falcons need to try to get better at, regardless of whether they keep him. But if they want to keep him as an insurance policy in case whoever they bring in isn't an upgrade, like if they draft somebody and that guy's not necessarily ready to start right away, like kind of like Richie Grant last year, then, you know, I like Hayward as an insurance policy.
Damn, you're making a lot of strong points, man. I'm not really opposed. I will have a little bit more of a stronger stance towards Lorenzo Carter. I actually really would like Lorenzo Carter back, because I didn't realize how good of an edge defender he is against the run. Like, I thought he actually flashed against the run quite a bit. And I agree he should only be playing 20, 30 snaps a game, maximum, I should say. But I think they should really make a push to bring him back. Now, of course, you got to see what the financial situation is. But I think if you limit his snaps, he could be more productive. I just think playing 50, 60 snaps, he just wore down, and he's just not someone that could consistently win like that. But I do think he could be an asset. Evans, yeah, I enjoyed watching. Like, I love that old school thumping linebacker, but I think if this defense is going to seriously grow, you can't have him as a starter. And I don't know where he fits at this point, because, like, this is the coverage limitations. And, you know, I do think he wore down in the second half of the season. I thought he had a strong start to the year, but kind of faded. And I just think you need more range with linebackers. Like, you see how the best defenses are in this league. They have rangy linebackers. Like, and he's just not an asset in coverage at all. Hayward, I'm leaning towards more no, just because I just think in man coverage, he is a bit of not a liability, but I just don't think you could fully trust him. And I could see teams picking on him if they are going to play more man coverage. I still think he's savvy enough to excel in more zone looks, but I have a feeling Falcons are going to get more of an aggressive defensive coordinator, and I just don't think he'd be the best fit. But I do agree with you that does ultimately depend on coaching. I'm not opposed to bringing him back. I don't know if you want to depend on him as a starter if they're going to play more man, because we've seen so many corners get picked on over the years. You don't want to have another one get picked on, especially someone that's older and you kind of feel bad for him because he really was, you know, he's a former All-Pro and someone that used to be generally good, and it kind of hurts your heart to see him, you know, just in a terrible scheme for his talents at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your feedback on that. I'm sure you gave the listeners a lot to chew on, not only for Lamar Jackson, the defensive scheme issues, and of course, some of these free agents. And we now have another resident here on McGarry Island here on the podcast.
But I can't believe you turned on Keith Smith. That's the bigger shocker to me, man.
Yeah. We'll see.
So support the fullbacks.
And look, you know, I fell in love with Parker Hesse. I'm cheating on Keith Smith with Parker Hesse. That's basically what's happening.
I can't top that after that. If this is the Falcons, that's your episode top right there.
Exactly. But Alan, let the people know what you got going on for them coming up over at the Falcoholic.
So this coming Thursday, we have an end of season roundtable with the illustrious Aaron Freeman, Matt Chambers, Will McFadden, Everett Glaze, Adnan Ikicin, myself. We're doing just a huge, big roundtable. I'm not going to tell you the topics because that'd be a bit of a buzzkill. It's just we're going to touch on some of the biggest topics, you know, at the end of the season, whether it's coaching, some of the star players, maybe an award here and there. You know, I'll give you a little bit of an inkling of what's going on. But ultimately, it's probably the biggest roundtable I do at the end of the season. So I got that going on. And then I don't know. We'll see what the off season holds. We'll see who they hire defensive coordinator. You know, we're at a time where we're kind of searching for content. So you know, let's wait and see on that. But of course, we'll keep in tune with what's going on with Lamar Jackson, because I think that's just the most exciting thing going on in Falcons land outside of course, the defensive coordinator search.
There you go. All right. So Alan, again, always appreciate you coming on. I'm looking forward to maybe talking with you a little closer to free agency and sort of gear down on some of these potential moves that the Falcons may be making in some of these additions, including a possible blockbuster Lamar Jackson trade. So we'll pick your brain on that at a later date, but I really appreciate you joining me on this episode to talk a little bit about some of these issues, these offseason issues, as well as putting a button on the Falcons 2022 season. And guys, tomorrow's episode will probably be doing the thing that I talked about at the beginning of the episode, which is making the case for why you know, it makes sense for Lamar Jackson to make that trade. You know, the beauty of being me is that you're so smart that you can see both sides of an argument and make the case for either one.
So I hate to say you're right, but you're right.
Yes. I have to stay humble. So, you know, I appreciate that, Alan, here on this podcast. But yeah, that will probably be on deck tomorrow. There's a listener question about specific player that the Falcons might take in the first round that I want to get to probably as well on tomorrow's episode. A defensive back that they curious. Maybe you want to know who I'm talking about. You'll just have to make Locked On Falcons your first watch or first listen on tomorrow. And of course, make Locked On NFL, Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Braves, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs your second listens as well. And you, of course, can find them all on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Gotta juice up my throat.
I know. We're live right now.
I know. It's I will cut this part out. Or I'll tag it at the end for an outtake or something.
Oh yes, the lead scenes.
All right.
That's all I'm here for, honestly.
Okay. All right, hold on.